something. Advance that for me. It's not working. This is a customary traditional greeting that churches use to commemorate what we're doing on Sunday, but especially on Easter time. So when I say Christ is risen, we all together respond with Alleluia. So let's try it. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. I'm going to be reading this morning out of the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, a tremendous resurrection text that by God's providence corresponds with where we were reading and finishing up in the past week in our congregational reading plan. So some of you read this, I believe, yesterday, if you're following day by day. And so we're going to read just the first 18 verses of this and then get right into the word after we pray. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." But Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time that we can gather together as your church and proclaim together in unison that Christ is indeed risen. We thank you that we can read about this story, and I thank you, God, I give you praise this morning that you reveal yourself to us by calling us by name so that we recognize you and the beauty that exists within your Son. Father, I ask this morning that each one of us here would pay attention to the word and listen to hear if you are calling our names this morning so that we can respond, not by holding on to the things that we hold most dear, but by going and telling others that we, in fact, also have seen the Lord. May we be pushed forward this morning, Father, to become truth tellers who go and tell the good news about Jesus and how you've changed and affected our lives so that others might come to recognize him as well. May we be uplifted this morning by the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, by the fact that he has ascended to be at your right hand where he waits to come back with judgment, but also to rescue those of us who share in that promise and hope of eternal life. May we live faithfully until that end. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard some of the kids were trying to compete with me when I began that reading. They're not going to win. Because we have an audio control that can be turned up if I need it turned up while I'm talking. So they can try, but they're not going to get far. But that's a good that's a good way to get into the lesson this morning, because I wanted to stand up here and play some white noise in the background and then try to talk over top of it. But I didn't know how that would really go over. But I wanted us to think about the fact that our lives are quite noisy when we stop and think about it. We have a lot in our lives that we need to filter out if we want to come to the Word of God, to hear it, to listen to it, and to be obedient to it. There's a lot of noise, that gets in the way that we have to filter out. The situations that we find ourselves living in, the circumstances and the details of our lives that many times we don't feel like we have any control over, the expectations that we have that often go unmet, they get in the way of us hearing Jesus when he's calling. And some of you saw in the announcements this morning, you heard us talk about, I think Bill announced it, that recently we've gotten a good report about my mom's health, but I've been on the other side of that too. I've talked to you guys before about my grandfather, who was an elder in the church, who had a stroke that he never recovered from for 2 years. He was just debilitated for 2 years and never got better. So I've been on the good side of something like that, and I've been on the bad side, the wrong side of something like that. And it's probable that even though we celebrate Easter today as good news, it's likely that there's some of you here today with that same experience. You've been on the good side of some good news, but maybe you're here today on the bad side of some news. Maybe you're here today and you don't know which side you stand on because you're not sure quite yet how to understand or even filter that noise that you're trying to figure out in your life, what is going on. And so we're in storms, there's some chaos. We find ourselves in unfamiliar places with unexpected outcomes that we didn't want, that we don't know quite how to deal with. And in and around all that noise and those expectations and those outcomes and the circumstances and situations of our lives, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for him, but we don't know how to find him. We don't know where to look. We don't know how to listen to hear his voice. Does that sound anything like Mary? When I read the beginning of that passage, if you were following along, does that sound anything like Mary? Because Mary woke up on this morning with a set of expectations and a set of details and circumstances that she expected to find in place. But when she arrived on the scene was unfamiliar to her and did not live up to the expectations that she had. She expected to find a dead Jesus, and she didn't know what to make out of what was there. And she looked very hard for Jesus, but she couldn't find him because she didn't have, at this moment, the context to understand what was going on with where Jesus was. And so for Mary, in this unfamiliar scene, she looked for Jesus. She looked very hard for him. She couldn't find him. So what did she do? Well, we saw the first thing that she did. If you still have a Bible open, you should always have a Bible open, even though we're going to have text up on the screen from time to time. Guess what? We're getting pew Bibles, so you can always use that if you don't carry one in on your own. But you should always have a Bible open. But in verse 2... Mary, unable to find Jesus. Now think about verse 1. The hope that you would bring to a situation like this, and you walk in and nothing meets the expectations that you expected to have when you walked into that scene, and you don't know what to make out of it. There's a lot going on in verse 1 that we could try to unpack. But in verse 2, Mary goes out, and she goes out to find some help. Right? She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Now, Mary, she doesn't have the framework to understand the resurrection yet. So when a body's missing, her expectation is it was stolen, and we don't know where it is. So she goes and gets help. But when the help arrived, the help that came was quite unhelpful. They didn't do anything for Mary. You see how they went into the tomb? For some reason, they're in a race to get there. They're running, but the other disciple outruns Peter and reaches the tomb first, and he just looks in. He doesn't go in for some reason. He waits for Peter to go in, and they see the burial cloth laying there, and we don't really know what Peter thinks about what's going on. It does tell us, John does tell us, that the other disciple who got to the tomb first but went in second saw and believed, even though they didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus was going to rise from the dead yet. So it's an incomplete understanding that he has. But then the disciples go back to where they were staying. And what are we left with as we come to verse 11? We're left with Mary still at an empty tomb, with expectations that she doesn't know how to filter or understand, and the help that she got came and saw and then bailed out. And she doesn't know what to do. She's still there. But when verse 11 starts, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying," but we could probably translate that better as, "But Mary continued to stand outside the tomb crying." Because what we see with Mary is, I believe, the attitude that John is pushing the believers towards. And he's saying that you might come to the experience of Jesus with a set of expectations. You might come to the experience of Jesus with some understandings. You might come to the experience of Jesus with a situation. You might come to the experience of Jesus with some circumstances that don't always make sense. And we need to be like Mary. When we get help that doesn't help us, we need to say, "I'm going to stay with it until I get some answers." And that's what Mary did. She stayed with it. She stayed on the scene. She stayed on location. She kept searching. She kept asking questions. She stayed with it. She stayed there until she got a breakthrough. She stayed there until she saw Jesus. She stayed with it until Jesus called her by name. And then she was transformed. When we don't see Jesus, despite looking for him, sometimes we have to stay with it until we have that breakthrough. Sometimes we bring in help, and the help doesn't help us. And we could give up. We could say, "Well, God, I asked so-and-so to help me. They understand this better than I do, but they didn't help me. Maybe I should give up." Or we might say, "I stayed with it. I prayed about this, and then I prayed about it a second time, and I still didn't get an answer. Maybe I should give up." But Mary tells us, when it just doesn't make sense, we have to stay with it. Now notice what happened when Mary was at the tomb. What did Mary see when she stayed with it? This is what the text tells us, John chapter 20, verse 12. After Peter and the other disciple had been there and left, and it was just Mary in front of the open tomb and all that those expectations were weighing in on her with, Mary looked in and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. But Jesus was no longer there. There was a gap where Jesus' body had laid, and there were two angels at either end, covering the area where Jesus once was, but no longer was. What was Mary looking at? Mary was looking at this. Mary was looking at the very mercy seat that God had prescribed as the place where his people would come to meet with him, where by blood they could meet with God and have an encounter with him. But there were problems even with this. There were regulations about who could go in. There were regulations about how God could be encountered. And even though Mary was looking at this image, which was transfigured into the empty tomb of Christ, what we see in this is that no more do we have the sorts of regulations and the ongoing blood that needed to be used to encounter God in this way. But what Mary saw in the empty tomb when she saw this was that now, because of Jesus and his resurrection, God now meets unfettered with his people. We don't have to go through these sorts of regulations and rituals and issues anymore to come to be with God. And when Mary saw this, that's when the recognition of Jesus began to dawn on her. She stayed with it, and she recognized Jesus as her Redeemer. You can look in the text at what happens after he sees this. After she sees this, she asked the angels. Or the angels say to her, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "I don't know where you've taken the Lord." And it's at that moment that she turns around and Jesus is standing behind her. Because it's at that moment where the empty tomb and the significance of it becomes so real that Jesus shows up. And he's there to be understood. He's there to talk to her. He's there to help her. He's there to answer her questions. She doesn't know it until he calls her by name. And when Jesus says, "Mary," that's when it all comes together for her. When he calls her by name. We recognize Jesus when we refocus away from our situations, our circumstances, the details of our lives, the questions that we have, the things that we don't think we're finding answers for, when we take our focus away from those things and refocus back on the redemption for which the empty tomb is a symbol, and we refocus on that, we become ready to receive Jesus. And just like Mary, Jesus calls us by name, and we recognize him. We have to stay with it. And sometimes when we don't recognize Jesus amidst those situations and circumstances and expectations, it's because we wanted a quick fix. It's because we wanted to show up and have everything laid bare for us without having to do any of the hard work of digging out the sin in our lives or the circumstances that we've caused that are creating that noise that we need to filter out and filter through. It's because of those things that we have to stay with it. And when we don't recognize Jesus in the middle of those things, it's because we haven't stayed with it long enough until he's touched us and called us by name. And that's one of the things for us to look at here. Are we standing this morning before an open tomb, asking the wrong questions and demanding the wrong answers? Or are we here expectantly, waiting for Jesus to say our name so that we can refocus on the redemption that he brings and then go to him? How did Mary know when she recognized Jesus? He called her by name, but there was more. Because Mary showed that her first understanding of the risen Jesus was something that she wanted to be selfish with. And she exclaims and calls Jesus my teacher, which was a high title of honor that she gave to Jesus. But what happened next was that Jesus had to say to her, "Do not hold on to me." Because when Mary experienced the resurrected Jesus, she wanted to keep him to herself. She wanted to say, "This is what I want. This is what I need. And I'm going to hold on to what I've been looking for." But Jesus said no. Even though that's a normal reaction for us, even though it shows that we have recognized Jesus, it shows that we haven't yet received his message. Because the message of Jesus is, if you've been transformed because I have called your name, then you're going to know that because you're going to go out and tell others about me. Because the true recognition of the name of Jesus is a name that changes us, it transforms us, and it takes our priorities away from serving ourselves and puts it out there to serving others. This is why Jesus said in the text, in verse 17, do not hold on to me. I have more work to do. It's not the time. But go to my brothers and tell them this is what's going to happen. And then John goes on to say that Mary went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and this is what he said. Mary's transformation was complete, and she knew it was complete when she turned away from holding on to him selfishly and went out to serve others. Mary stayed with it. She filtered out the noise in her life, and then she resolved to follow the Jesus that she came to know when he called her name, to follow him in his mission. I think the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is this one. Why are we here trying to recognize the name of Jesus? What is it that we're trying to do? What is it that we're seeking? What is it that we want? What is it that if he gave it to us right now, we would hold on to it rather than letting it go so that we could go and serve him? Are we looking for a short-term solution where Jesus comes up as a magician on stage and gives us what we want so that we can worship him for a day or two before we go back to all the noise in our life and say, well, now I need someone else who can come in and solve this problem for me and do that thing for me and clear up these expectations? Do we want a short-term solution? Or do we want a permanent solution that lets us turn down the noise in our lives and have a simple purpose and focus on him? Maybe we need to realize that the noise in our lives is because we've refocused on things that have nothing to do with the redemption or purpose of Jesus. And when we lose sight of why Christ was raised from the dead, and of what God's plan of redemption is about, and of where God is going in the world and building towards an end, when we lose sight of those things, then we get swallowed up in the unmet expectations of our lives and the circumstances that appear to be beyond our control and the details that we didn't want to deal with but somebody else put on our plate. And those become the things that we think that we need rescuing from. And so we look to Jesus to be a short-term solution to get us through the next problem, rather than saying the problem is that I keep turning from him and building all this noise into my life, and I just need to shut the noise off. Thank you. And the thing that makes the difference for us in knowing whether or not we're seeking Jesus to be recognized by him is the answer to that question. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we just want momentary peace, I heard Bill say at the beginning, the acoustics in this room are great. We could sing for 20 minutes and most of us will feel good about how nice the singing sounded. And then we can take off out of here and we'll feel blessed for a day or two after that. But what happens when we get the next bill in the mail? What happens when we get the next phone call that says we have a problem? What happens when we get the next health report that said things didn't work out the way we hoped that they would? And the noise comes back. The thing that makes the difference for us in knowing why we are seeking to recognize Jesus and to be recognized by him is whether or not we stay with it. There's a guy that I listen to that preaches, and he likes to say, look at the person next to you and say this. So I'm going to borrow that. I'm going to say, look at the person next to you and say, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Because so many times we don't stay with it long enough to find out what the problem was. What if Mary had shown up in verse 1 and then when the experts, Peter and John, rolled up and they went into the tomb and saw a couple of things and had some level of belief, but they apparently didn't communicate any of that to Mary and they left. What if Mary had said, I'm done. Those mentors couldn't tell me what they saw. They couldn't teach me. They couldn't solve my problem. They didn't even hang around long enough to find out where somebody took Jesus to. I'm out of here. But she stayed with it. She stayed there until she saw the redemption of God. And it was at that moment that she came to know who Jesus was. If we want momentary peace, we're not going to find what we're looking for. Does your search for Jesus have staying power? Or are you looking for a shelter just for this storm? Or are you ready to receive him, to stop searching once for all, to recognize him, and to stay not now with it, but with him? Are you ready to stay with him? We stay with our search in order to stay with Jesus. We stay with our search for him long enough until he reaches out and touches us and calls us by name and then tells us, don't hold on to me because I solved your short-term problem, but let go of me so that the world can be blessed because of me. That's when we know that we know Jesus. That's when it comes to the point where we know that our search was not in vain. Because now we have lasting results. We have lasting answers. The messes of our lives are cleaned up. And someone's going to say, I've been a Christian for a long time. My life's still a mess. But now you have Jesus. And now you can walk through that mess with somebody who's going to be there with you, not letting go of you. Because it was Mary who was told, don't hold on to me. But just because Mary was told, don't hold on to me, never means that Jesus stops holding on to us. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory this morning as we reflect on the good news of the resurrection of your Son and the plan of salvation and the plan of redemption that you have outlined throughout history in your word. We give you praise this morning that plan is in full effect. It's in full force. And there is nothing and nobody that's going to stop you from bringing that plan to completion. Father, would you give us a sense this morning of the call of Jesus in our lives, that he holds us securely even as he sends us out to go out and bless the world in his name. And Father, for anyone here this morning that's looking for Jesus and they're struggling with the details and circumstances of their lives, the issues that are there, I pray, God, would you give them a sense of peace and a gentle nudge that says, I'm with you, it will be okay. And Father, for those of us here this morning who have that sense that you have called us and we're ready, would you ask us to test ourselves about, are we holding on to your Son for selfish reasons, or are we ready to let go so that we can go out and work for him? And then give us the confidence and the strength and the encouragement to be led out in that way. I ask, God, that you'd bless each one here this morning. As we sing our last song in just a minute here, I ask, Father, that you would cement the message from this morning into the hearts and minds and bodies of each one who's here, so that there is a change that can be made because of the power of the resurrection of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. If anyone's here this morning, as I threw out there last week, maybe you've been touched by the word and you want prayer. Maybe you've been touched by the word and you need to come forward for baptism, enter into a new life in Christ. If we can serve you in some way this morning with the word, we ask you to let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing.